Good evening, everyone. Once again, it's a pleasure to be in your company tonight. And of course, you are tuned in to Come Alive. Come Alive, of course, is one of the ministries of Agape Bible Ministries. And our pastors are Sam and Grace Phillip. Just want to remind you that we have services on Sunday morning, two services. The first starts at 7, followed by another at 9:30. And of course, on Wednesday evenings, we meet for prayer, which starts at 6 o'clock, and that is followed by Bible study. But tonight is Thursday night, and it is always a pleasure to have in studio Pastor Grace Phillip. Pastor Grace, good evening.
I'm so glad to be with you tonight, Jennifer, but I asked a guest to join us tonight, and his name is Pastor Sean Michaud, and he is a missionary in South Africa at the moment, and he's going to talk to us tonight on the matter of Christian identity, which is such a crucial matter to all Christians. Pastor Michaud.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Grace. It's a great honor to be here, this wonderful nation of Trinidad and Tobago. My wife is from here, for those of you who are listening. So I did marry a Trinidadian girl. Remember a long time ago, I said, Lord, I want the best that you have to offer. And he sent me a Trini girl. And I know all the ladies out there are agreeing right now. Amen. So praise the Lord. And so we always enjoy coming back and just being here, eating the food, getting the doubles. You know, you can't not appreciate doubles. Amen. You can't explain it to people when they're hearing you and you're saying you're going down to get doubles. They have no clue what you're talking about. But anyway, let's go ahead and let's talk about identity this evening, because this is something that is so important. You know, a lot of people come to Christ and they genuinely give their life to Jesus and they do have the new birth experience, but they don't live their life based out of that new birth experience. They pretty much live their life still identifying with who they were, identifying with what their parents told them, what some authority figure said about them, a teacher or something like that. You know, a lot of people have grown up being told quite frequently that they'll never amount to anything, that they're dumb, they're stupid, they are ignorant, they're this, they're that, they don't have much ability. Sometimes even teachers can do that. Sometimes a teacher, you know, it shouldn't be this way, but sometimes teachers just don't like certain students and they will pick on them and say horrible things about them. And they have discovered that that has a lot of negative influence and impact on people. And so sometimes what Jesus has done inside of us, what he did for us by dying for us, by being buried for us, by being resurrected for us, and now being raised and ascending on high for us, a lot of times we don't really understand what has taken place. We don't really understand the power of the resurrection. We don't understand just exactly what Jesus has done inside of us. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We need to have a totally different way of viewing our Christian life. We need to identify with Jesus and stop identifying with ourselves. I'm not saying we ignore that we're alive. I'm not talking about being a zombie. But what I'm talking about is just we live our lives with our eyes solely upon Jesus and what he's done for us. You know, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 that we are to look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. That's telling us that we need to keep our eyes fixed squarely and solely upon Jesus Christ. And frankly, a lot of us, we really don't do that. We think we do. We think when we go to church, that's what it's talking about. Or if we have a devotional in the morning or when we have our prayer time. But that's talking about every moment of the day we are living our lives with our focus fixed squarely on Christ and what he's done for us. We don't get them off of that and put them on ourselves. It's not that Jesus begins our faith and we take it up and then when we die, he then picks it back up. No, he's the beginning and he's the middle and he's the end. He's everything. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. You know, a lot of times in life, people, they'll say things such as, you need to have a positive self-image or a positive self-esteem. You need to think highly of yourself. And I'm going to tell you that that is not what Jesus came to do. He did not come so that you could feel good about yourself. I know that might sound funny. That might sound strange. I'm not teaching that you need to hate yourself. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we need to have a Christ esteem. We need to have a positive Christ image. Amen. So what does esteem mean? Esteem simply means to have a great respect or high regard for. You know, when Jesus came and he saved us, it tells us over here in John chapter 3, in verse 6, Jesus is talking about being born again. Nicodemus came to him and said, what must I, you know, no one can do these things unless God's with him. And so Jesus doesn't even seem to answer that statement. He just says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 6, Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so when you were born again, you did not have a flesh birth. You had a spiritual birth. When you were born physically, that was your flesh birth. Every single person listening to this program, you were born of your mother. That was your physical birth, your flesh birth. But when you came to Christ, you had a spiritual birth. And so, frankly, most of us, we don't really understand what took place in that spiritual rebirth. So that's what we're going to talk about. Amen. Let's turn over to, if you have your Bibles or if you're listening, I'm going to read it. So just listen carefully. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at some things here tonight that I really believe is going to be a blessing to you. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, I'm going to quote a verse that most of us quote, but have never sat and really thought about what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? Have you come to Jesus? Have you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted that what Jesus did on the cross is all it takes for you to be accepted by God? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, we have peace with God through faith in what Jesus did for us. Amen? Let me just quote that real quick. Romans chapter 5, it says in verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have peace with God through anything that we can do. As a matter of fact, anything we do in our strength is not accepted in God's eyes. The Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. So the things that we can produce in our strength cannot be accepted in God's eyes. I could teach on righteousness tonight, but we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about the new creation. So we're back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. It says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you are in Christ, the Bible says you are a new creation. We need to understand what that new creation means. It means that you are a creation that did not exist before. It is something that did not exist. When you came to Jesus, you became a brand new creature. Amen. A lot of us haven't thought about that. A lot of us think we're the same old thing. If you know, some of us view ourselves as an old car. You know, all we did when we came to Christ, we were beat up, we're broken down, and what God did was he just gave us a new coat of paint. But how many of you know, if it's an old car, it's even with a new coat of paint, it's an old car with a new paint job. God did not give us a new paint job. He made us a brand new creation. So I want you to think about that. Just with this analogy, if you were an old broken down Toyota Corolla, when you came to Christ, he made you a brand new, top class Mercedes-Benz. Brand new creation. Not just a patched up old thing. You are a brand new creation if you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. But we need to understand where that new creation took place. Because the Bible says that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have to understand where that took place. Did not take place in our body. We have not yet received a brand new creation in our body. We can understand that. Even as believers, we still die. If the Lord tarries, every single one of us who's listening to this program, every single one of us, if the Lord doesn't return, we're going to die and be buried one day. Amen. Now we have the hope of the resurrection where this body will become new, will be changed. That is all true. But we need to understand it did not take place in our body. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, it tells us something very important that we need to understand. And we're still talking about image here. We're talking about identity. Our identity needs to be our identities in Christ. We need to identify solely in what Christ has done for us. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, it says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. You have to understand the Apostle Paul was writing here in Romans chapter 7. And he said that in me, nothing good dwells, but he had to qualify that and say, that is in my flesh. because there was a part of him that was a brand new creation. Mm-hmm. And so if you approach God by the strength and the power of your flesh, you are approaching God in something that doesn't have the life of God in it. Mm. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 real quickly. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 10. It says, and if Christ is in you, how many of you can say Christ is in me? You know, when you gave your life to Jesus, Jesus came and lived. He came and lived on the inside of you. He's, you know, we have to believe that. And so, and if Christ, in verse 10, Romans chapter 8, verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. And what is that talking about? Because of your acts of sin? Because of what you've done wrong? In context, it's talking about because of Adam's sin. Death came into the world. You know, I'm sure all of you know the story back in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and God told them, don't do that, for the day you eat it, you'll die. But they didn't physically die immediately. But they were spiritually at that point separated from God, and death entered the human race. That's what it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. By one man's offense, talking about Adam, that just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. That's talking about Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It's talking about what Adam did. So when Adam sinned, death entered the human race. So those of you who are trying to approach God in your own strength, you're trying to approach God what you can offer God in your own power, in your own strength, and you're trying to offer it unto God to be good enough for God to accept it, no wonder it never seems to be good enough, because it isn't. It's a dead work. Because flesh can only produce death. I don't care how holy you try to live, eventually that very good work does not produce life, and it burns you out. you get frustrated. You start to say some things. What more does God want? I'm trying to do all these things. And that is not, God has not asked us to do all these things for him. Actually, what I'm teaching tonight is that we need to see what God has done inside of us and allow him to do that work through us. There's a big difference there. I know I've said a lot of things, and I believe it's going to be more clarified as we continue. So keep listening. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's go to verse 17. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I want you to notice that. You are no longer separate from God. You have been joined to the Lord, the Bible says. And the Bible says if you are joined to the Lord, in other words, when you believed in Jesus, when you believed that what he did on the cross was enough to bring peace between you and God, you became a child of God. As it says in John chapter 1, that as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. When you became a child of God, you were joined to the Lord. And the Bible says you are now one spirit with him. You're no longer separate. You need to start seeing yourself that you are joined to the Lord. I know this might seem strange for some of you, because sometimes you're more aware of your failures than you are of Christ's victory. And I'm telling you, once you start to transfer what you're focusing on, and you esteem greater Christ's victory than your own failures, you will start to live in victory. You will start to have less and less failures because your eyes are on Jesus. You know, I know it may sound strange, but having victory over sin is not focusing on sin, it's focusing on Jesus. Because if you're focusing on sin, you're focusing on the very thing that's producing death. Think about that. And so, but if you focus on Jesus, you're focusing on the one who came to bring us life. And so it says here clearly that you are now one spirit with him. And so Jesus now lives on the inside of you. And so if Jesus lives on the inside of you, he still has all of the same power, all of the same holiness, all of the same righteousness. Everything that is true of Jesus is now true of you in your spirit because he now lives there. I'm not saying it's true of you independently of him. I'm saying because now that you're joined to the Lord, all the qualities he has not lost those qualities, and now he lives on the inside of you. You need to start seeing yourself as someone who's holy, someone who's righteous, someone who's loved, someone who's precious in God's eyes. Not someone who's barely making it and squeaking out this life and just hoping that when you die, that then everything will be better. Let me just tell you something, brothers and sisters. God has so much available to us. And most of us are not taking advantage of everything God has for us. And I'm telling you, it's because of the way that we think. Amen? Now let's keep going here. I want to continue showing you that God has done such a great thing inside of us. But one thing that I want you to know is that just as that verse I read in John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh and that which is born of the spirit is spirit, you cannot perceive spiritual truth by the flesh. You can only perceive spiritual truths by the spirit. You have to understand that. That is a powerful truth. You know, in John chapter 6, let's turn there real quickly. John chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 63. This should be one of your favorite scriptures. And in John 6:63, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." Look at that. No wonder every time we try to do something in our own strength, it seems like it fails. It seems like it doesn't give life. And that is 100% truth. Jesus declared that. It shocks us. It doesn't shock God. In verse 63, it says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." So if you want to find out who you are in the spirit, you can't go and look in the mirror. You can't go and take your temperature with a natural thermometer. You have to go to the Word of God to find out who you are. You can't perceive it by your own natural senses. That is just the truth. And I'm going to give some examples of that in just a minute, but I really want to go to this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. Let's start in verse 23, actually. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." You know what's stopping most of us from really seeing the life of God evident in our life is that we still think the old way. You know, we still think like the old person that's just maybe hanging on until God moves. Hanging on until maybe a visiting evangelist can come or a visiting minister that can come and pray for us and set everything in order. But I'm telling you, you need to start seeing yourself the way that God sees you. You need to have your mind renewed. You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your whole way of thinking and approaching life and approaching God needs to be transformed and renewed. You need to have a whole new system of thinking. Most of us do not have a new system of thinking. So in verse 24, Ephesians 4:24 says, "And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." I want you to notice that Paul said, you need to put on the new man. The new man's talking about that new creation. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation." The new man's talking about that new creation. But notice he says that you put on the new man. You know, you can't put something on that you don't have. For Paul to say, "Put on the new man," he assumed, because these were believers, they had a new man. And he wasn't assuming incorrectly. He was assuming correctly. It's like if you give someone your car keys and you tell them, "Anytime you need to use my car, you just come right over and stick your key in the ignition and use it." And if they come and they knock on your door and they say, "Hey, can I borrow your car?" You say, "Hey, I thought I told you that you could use it anytime you want to." They say, "Well, I know you said that, but could you give me the keys?" And say, "But I thought I already gave you the keys." See, a lot of us are approaching God saying, "Oh, God, give me a new man. Oh, God, make me holy. Oh, God, make me righteous." And God can't answer that prayer because if you're in Christ, He's already made you that way. Now, are you saying you're not born again? If you're coming to God and you're saying, "Oh, God, make me holy. Oh, God, make me righteous." That's correct if you're not born again. That's correct. But if you're born again, you need to say, "God, thank you that you've made me holy. Thank you that you've made me righteous. And I'm going to put on that new man that you have created, that new man, that new creation that you've given me." So Paul says, "Put on the new man." In the Greek, that has the picturology, if you want to use that phrase, that phrase of like you're putting a garment on. It was the verb that you would use when you're putting on like your jacket or putting on a shirt. So Paul didn't say that you need to go out and you need to get the new man. He said you need to put it on. So one of the greatest things for walking in victory is to believe that you already have the new man. And we need to see the qualities of that new man. It says that put on the new man, which was created. That is past tense. Now, that will be created. It says it was created according to God. In other words, God's the one who did this, not you. God's the one who did this work. And you're to put on the new man, which was created according to God. Notice, in true righteousness and holiness. What does that mean? It means there's such a thing as false righteousness and holiness. What is that? Anything that is based out of the flesh. Jesus said the flesh profits nothing, but the spirit is what gives life. And since we are now joined to the Lord and we're now one spirit with him, there is a part of us that is totally, always, without any shadow of variation, is always full of life. But I don't feel it, Pastor Sean. I don't feel it. It doesn't matter with what you feel in your flesh. If we go based on what we feel, we will see very little of the things that God has for us. Amen? We need to see that. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Hebrews 10, 14. There's another verse that I want to bring out here. Hebrews 10, 14 says, "For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." I want you to notice that. You have been perfected by the offering of Jesus Christ, and it says that you have been perfected forever. Notice that. How many of you believe you're not perfect yet? Well, I can say this. In your spirit, you're already perfect because Jesus lives there. Now, you are not perfectly believing that, which is why we fail, which is why I fail. I'm not telling you that I'm doing all this perfectly, but you know what? I am seeing greater and greater results the more and the greater that I keep my eyes on what Jesus has done. You know, I'm not saying that we can get to where we're absolutely perfect in everything we do. But you know what? If you never try to get there by keeping your eyes on Jesus, then you'll keep settling for less. I like the way that one minister says. He says, you have to keep yourself stirred up on the truth. Because if you don't keep yourself stirred up, you'll settle to the bottom. That is just the truth. You have to keep yourself in the love of God. You have to keep your eyes on what Jesus says about us. So it says that by his one offering, notice that, by his offering, he has perfected you. How many of us are trying to perfect ourselves? Some of us are trying to perfect ourselves by how much we pray, how much we go to church, how much we fast, how much we tell others about Jesus. Now listen to me very carefully. All of those things are good. But if you're doing those things to produce perfection, you're going to be frustrated. We don't read the Bible to perfect ourselves. We read the Bible because we want to be with Jesus. We want relationship with God. Let me just tell you this. The goal of reading the Word is not reading the Word. The goal of reading the Word is to connect with Jesus. And if you have any other goal, that I'm opening this book because Jesus loves me, because he's perfected me, and I'm looking into, as it says in James chapter 1, this perfect law of liberty, this mirror. You know, let's turn over there real quick. James, I wasn't planning on going there, but let's go there. James chapter 1. This is an incredible truth here. In James chapter 1, let's just start in verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Now, I want you to use this analogy here. Think about this analogy. The Bible says that when you're reading the word, it's like if you're looking into a mirror. What is the mirror? What is the word? Spirit and life. What is the part of you that's joined to the Lord? Spirit. So when you're looking into the word, when your motives are right and you have the right concept of why you're reading the word, you're not doing this to impress God. Think about this. God is God. He can't be impressed by what you can do. He's only impressed by that we believe, what he says about us. That blesses him. And so when we're looking into the word to see who we are, we're receiving spirit and life. That's why we need to consistently be in the word, not just on Sunday. You know, some people, they know exactly where their Bible is every time because it never leaves their car. They leave it right there in the console of their car so they never forget it to when they walk into church. Let me just tell you that. If you have a habit of forgetting your Bible, then buy an extra one and leave it in your car. But you need that Bible next to you so that you consistently see who you are, because the Bible says as soon as you walk away, it's not very long that you forget who you are. Everything in this world, all the information of this world is pressing against us to get our eyes off of Jesus and to forget who we are. And that's not the way that God wants us to be. So we need to remember who we are in Christ. And we're running out of time on this broadcast today. We're going to continue next week. Next Thursday at same time, same channel. Sounds like Batman, doesn't it? Just a little joke there. But praise the Lord, we need to remember who we are. We need to remember that we are already righteous in Christ because He lives there. Now, just one last thing. If you are not holy and if you are not righteous, then what you're saying, if you're a believer, that Jesus lost who He is. He lost His qualities. He lost His attributes. How many of you believe that God is no longer perfect? Well, none of us would say that. But if He's joined to the Lord and He now lives inside of you, there's one of two options. One, you became more than what you even imagined you were, or God became less. Are you willing to say God has lost His attributes? He's no longer God? No. Then you have to agree, now that He lives on inside of me, He's brought you up. He's raised you up to a whole new level, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, that we have been raised with Him, and He has seated us together with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this broadcast tonight. We thank you for your word that went forth. Father, I thank you that this word is penetrating the people's hearts, and it's helping them to see themselves in a whole new way. And thank you, Lord, they can see that they need to have positive self or positive Christ esteem and not be so concerned about self-esteem, a positive Christ image. And Father, I thank you for the word that has gone forth in power and it will not return void. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to thank you, Pastor Micho, for explaining things to us so clearly. You know, one of the reasons I like him is because he's been sensible and he's married a Trini wife. And so we want to thank the Lord for sending him to us tonight. Father, we bless Pastor Micho and his family, and we thank you for them visiting at this time and blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next time. Bye.